This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD streaming audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring. Full throttle is half the fun. Where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Welcome to the Week 13 Waiver Wire Podcast. I am Eric Smith, Editor-in-Chief at QBList.com, filling in for Callan Elslager. He's got some important schoolwork to do this week, so we figured we'd give him a week off. So I'm filling in as the host. I am joined, as always, by AJ Passman to go through the Waiver Wire priorities for the week. We made it through Thanksgiving. Playoffs are rapidly approaching, so this is a pretty big week for waivers, and there are actually some pretty interesting names here. I think last few weeks, there's been some pretty boring waiver wire priorities, but you're going to have your hands full this week. So, AJ, welcome. How you been? And what do you think about this week as far as the waiver wire goes?
Oh, I'm excited to get in this week. After having a nice full Thanksgiving meal, it's nice to have a full waiver list, especially with the running backs. But, I mean, like you said, it's been kind of – we've been putting in the grind. Yeah. The last 3 weeks has really been the grind. So, hopefully, you've been manufacturing those wins. But – now, if you've got some fab left over, if you were able to hold on to it, now's the time to drop it.
Right. I think I picked the right week to guest host. So I think the theme of this show is probably going to be if you have fab left, just spend it all. So we'll get to some of these right off top. So let's get to running backs. Give me your top running back waiver priority bid. And this might be the quickest of the day. I don't know if there's much explanation needed here.
No, it's Alexander Mattison. I mean, with Dalvin Cook going down, his dislocated shoulder, it seems like it's going to be at least 2 weeks, but that's going to get us into the fantasy playoffs. So it's really, you know, none of the stats really matter all that much. When he filled in earlier in the season, he was a smash play, and he's going to be that again. And of course, I mean, what more could you want in a week 13 matchup against Detroit? So Mattison, whatever you've got, drop it on him. He's worth it.
Yeah, well, he already faced Detroit this year, actually. 25 carries, 113 yards, 7 catches, 40 yards, a touchdown. Like, that's kind of what we're looking at here. We know how this Vikings offense is going to operate. So, yeah, if you've got waiver money left, spend it all on Madison if he's out there. About 50% rostered, so he's out there in some leagues. So, yeah, I think we can just move on from that one. The next situation is a lot more interesting to dissect here. Unfortunately, we have another Christian McCaffrey injury, and real quickly, he's out for the season. I was kind of shocked by that. So he's gone for the year, and now we're focused on these backup running backs. So what are you thinking for these Panthers running backs going forward?
Yeah, it was funny. With CMC going on injured reserve twice, he's automatically out. So, with all the wonderful coaching and personnel decisions that have gone on already this year, I hope that the Carolina staff knew that ahead of time, but you never know. But, with him going down, I mean, Amir Abdullah has been kind of the surprise, as far as, you know, taking on some of the work in week 12, Amir Abdullah had a 49% snap share. But really, I think we have to look at what was happening in the game there with Carolina, with Cam Newton getting benched, with Carolina already being down 2-3 scores. I'm not going to put as much stock into that. I still think that Chuba Hubbard is the priority pickup there. He filled in really well with CMC out. I do think that Amir Abdullah is going to take some of that receiving work, but to me, Chuba Hubbard's done it and he is going to probably do it again. The only caveat there is they have a bye in week 13. So that does ding it a little bit if you need somebody right now. And that's the thing, Eric, is that with we really only have 2 weeks until the playoffs. So some of us out here you've got to do a pickup that's going to help you win in week 13. And unfortunately, neither Hubbard nor Abdullah can help you. But if you can afford it, then you've got to, if you can look forward, then, Hubbard and even Abdullah would be priority pickups for me.
Yeah, there's a lot to dissect in this one. Just getting back to McCaffrey for a moment, it's pretty bizarre that they've just continually played him at like 90% snaps through all these injuries. We keep thinking they'll learn their lesson and they apparently haven't. So I wonder if that's going to continue next year. But, when Hubbard was filling in, he was seeing 50%+ of the snaps easily, 60% or more most weeks. Abdullah, I mean, he's pretty clearly the passing game back here. And I do agree with what you said. When he came in last week, they were down. That led to a lot of the work from him. But I think Hubbard's going to be the first pickup, and Abdullah is going to be easier to acquire in leagues. It kind of makes me want to focus on Abdullah in leagues where I don't have like a lot of fab left. I think he's someone you could pick up for a decent value here, and you might get some decent target shares. I mean, they're really feeding CMC in the air before he got hurt. So obviously Abdullah is not CMC. We don't expect that production, but we could see a lot of passing game work. The big question is just how bad is this offense going to be? Cam Newton looked really bad last week. Whoever they've rolled out there has looked pretty bad. So I don't know. Do you think that there's big time upside here? I mean, you mentioned the bye week. That's another thing to unpack. And then they've got a tough schedule ahead too.
Yeah. When you're looking at the fantasy playoffs, it is brutal. I mean, so coming back off the bye, they've got Atlanta, which is nice. My Falcons, a wonderful get right spot. Yeah. But then going into the following weeks, it's Buffalo, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. And even if for some leagues, if you go all the way into week 18, it's Tampa Bay again. So it's not a friendly matchup. And, McCaffrey is the kind of player that you just ignore the matchups. You ignore the strength of schedule and you just play him all through the playoffs no matter what.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the same with Chuba Hubbard. And so I would be a little bit concerned about that. So, missing, having no points available in week 13. It's really, with week 14, I do think that is a smash spot for Chuba Hubbard, but it's going to be tough sledding for the fantasy playoffs, I think.
Yeah. So he's going to be one, I think, that's really roster dependent. If you have a decent running back stable this week and you look ahead to next week, you're fighting for the playoffs and you need someone, then hey, there's not much time left. Probably spend it on Hubbard. Like I said, Abdullah, I think he's a nice cheap pickup to see how this works out. But yeah, it is tough. Tough schedule, a bye week. There's a lot to unpack there. So I do think it's going to be really team dependent. So it's kind of hard to put like a fab percent on this, right? Like It's just, it's going to be so dependent on where your team's at, what your upcoming schedule looks like, and what your needs are.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see some people saying, I don't want to go in at all. You know, I'm fine with my running backs and I don't want to, you know, have the decision to make with Hubbard on my bench. And other people, you know, you need to get that week 14 win and you go in for it. So again, at this point in the season, it is so dependent on how much fab you have left, but also what, you know, what's your standing in the league and what are other managers doing? You know, can you keep the McCaffrey manager from being able to pick up Hubbard and potentially just, you know, having fewer hiccups in their roster, you know, then it might be worth a little bit more.
Yep, for sure. And I keep going back to Abdullah here, but I mean, in the last 3 weeks, he's had a 19% target share and a 12% target share. So he is getting some work. I like him as a cheap pickup, but I do agree that Hubbard is the priority ad. You would need to spend more fab on him to get him. So I think maybe how you stand on this backfield kind of swings on this next player on the list, how much you want to spend on Jamal Williams. What are your thoughts on Jamal Williams with Swift likely out at least this week?
Yeah, it does seem like he's going to be out this week. You know, I think that Jamal Williams, especially towards the beginning of the season, you know, he was a lot more involved than, not more than people thought, but I think more than Swift managers wanted. And with Williams coming back from injury, I think that we were already going to start seeing him, you know, potentially be included a little bit more. But the truth is Swift was on a tear. So with Swift missing week 13, I think Jamal Williams is a great spot start. And, you know, he would be again in that list of priorities for managers who, you know, are either jockeying for that playoff spot, trying to make the playoffs, trying to manufacture some wins. If you have a little bit of a running back hole, you know, he's 39% rostered. So he is available, you know, in about 60% of leagues. So for me, I definitely see him as with some potential upside, albeit in another offense that is, I really just don't know exactly how they're going to go. So, you know, the floor for Detroit, I mean, we know what the floor is for any Lions offensive player, but I do like the potential because, you know, the Lions have kept their running backs involved no matter what, whether it's through the air or on the ground, positive game scripts, negative game scripts, they're going to the running back. So I like the opportunity here for Williams.
Yeah, I do too. And we kind of keep remembering, I feel like, that week one where he caught 8 passes and I think they fed both Jamal and Swift just like crazy against the 49ers in the passing game. That really dried up for Jamal Williams all year until last week when he got 5 mm-hmm. targets, 5 receptions. It was only 18 yards, but that's what we're looking for on this Lions offense. We're not going to get a lot of touchdowns, but that pass catching. So PPR leagues, I think he's a nice spot start. I mean, 13 points last week without a touchdown, that'll work. So I do like the matchup against Minnesota. They'll be playing from behind. They're going to have to put the ball in the air. And I don't know. I mean, I wonder if Swift comes right back to this role. We'll see how big the injury is, but this is a lost season. If he's even close to dinged up, I could see maybe a little bit more of a split going forward because Williams was hurt prior to this too. So maybe we see a little bit more of a mix and you can use Williams another week or two. We'll see. But I do think it's worth, you know, getting him on your roster and seeing what happens, especially if you need a starter this week. So yeah, let's get to another running back here. There's a lot of interesting ones this week. You wouldn't think that Boston Scott would be an interesting running back, but this Eagles backfield is hard to figure out. So what do you think about Boston Scott? And maybe just let's look at this whole backfield as well in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles just do not seem to want to give Miles Sanders a featured role for whatever reason. You know, I mean, it could be the ball security. It could be who knows what else. To me, it's really perplexing. But a couple things happened this week. Is first off, Jordan Howard was inactive again with a knee injury. Kenneth Gainwell actually got some play, but very clearly he fell out of favor with the coaching staff. And so it seems like there could be two relevant running backs at any time in the Eagles backfield, which is so different from what we thought at the beginning of the season when there were zero relevant running backs. But with Miles Sanders still, you know, struggling with ball security in week 10, with him getting hurt in week 11, I think as long as Jordan Howard is out and Miles Sanders is in, then I still think Boston Scott has a role. I think that he has a passing down role. I think that I mean, the Jets is a great matchup to try this out on. Yeah. So again, in a season that, you know, it's been so weird in their backfield, I still don't exactly know what to do with it. But, you know, he had 51% of snaps in week 12. And it just seems like they're, you know, that even with multiple backs healthy, that Howard would seem to be kind of surplus to requirements when Miles Sanders is healthy. But it seems like Scott has kind of carved out a role regardless of who's healthy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And yeah, Jordan Howard's going to be the key here because we've seen they really like him, as shocking as that is in 2021. But I guess he has produced pretty well. So you can't really fault the coaches too much for running him out there. But Scott certainly had a role. Nice Jets matchup. Again, you got to look at the schedule. They do have a bye the week after. So you got to kind of weigh your priorities, what week you need them. It's just, we're going to keep coming back to that. But I'm not sure that Scott has quite the upside as Jamal Williams, at least in a PPR league, just because of the lack of pass catching. And I do think there's a little bit more options in that backfield. But I agree. I like Boston Scott. It's really not that hard to get him in the top 25 running backs this week. I'm doing my early rankings, and I think I got him about 23 right now, depending on Miles Sanders' health. So, yeah, if you need him, both him and Jamal Williams, if you need him this week, you can justify spending a whole bunch of your fab on him because – there just aren't a lot of options. I think this is kind of where the cliff comes in the running back rankings this week. Wouldn't you say this is kind of the point of no return on like someone you can trust this week?
Yeah, I would agree with that. There are a couple of interesting options, maybe some desperation plays, or at least, you know, these are probably your priority ads. But, you know, I'm probably going to be putting in claims for some additional players. And there will be more players as well in the waiver wire article that, you know, might have some, you know, decent matchups or some good upside. But I think that these are our your priority ads that, you know, again, at this point in the season, you know, you can't take your fab with you. So this is the time, you know, we always talk about the injuries that you wait for. These are them. So we have arrived at this point in the season. So don't, I would say, don't hold on to it. Go ahead and make multiple claims in case you get outbid or in case you, you know, need to, you know, maneuver your roster a little bit. So go ahead and make those multiple claims to try to get at least one of these guys for the upcoming weeks.
Yep, for sure. And I think I would keep an eye on Jordan Howard if he's out there. Keep an eye on the news. He would be worth adding. And I don't know if people are getting so fed up with Miles Sanders they would drop him. I would still probably have a spot for him on my roster. He is frustrating, but he's got the talent. And this running game's been pretty good. So I would keep an eye on this entire Philadelphia backfield personally. So yeah, next up, I feel like this is I don't know. He's going to be debated here. I feel like, Matt Breida. I think there's going to be a lot of people that want to plug him in and play him. He looked pretty good in his last game, but, there's also some downsides to Breida, I think. So what are your thoughts on Matt Breida as a waiver ad this week?
Well, I mean, I can't talk about Matt Breida without talking about Zach Moss. I mean, my, how he has fallen, you know, from potentially being the one who is going to take a stranglehold on the Buffalo backfield to a healthy scratch in week 12. So that's just where we are. But what we've seen in 2021 is that the Buffalo backfield actually has some value. And if any of these backs, if Singletary or Matt Breida could get a little bit more of a stranglehold on this role, then I think it could have a ton of value heading into the playoffs. But, you know, the facts still remain. I mean, Breida has had a couple good weeks in a row, has had some good performances, you know, but he is still, you know, down in the pecking order compared to Devin Singletary. You know, in week 12, he had 32% snap share versus 68% for Devin Singletary, 9 rushing attempts versus 15 for Singletary. He did out target him, which I do think is where Breida's value probably, can surpass Singletary's right now. But still, it was, you know, 2 targets to 1 target. Right. But overall of this, Eric, is the matchup. I mean, I don't really want to play a secondary backup who I'm not sure what his role is going to be against New England.
Yep.
That's tough.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, they did get kind of torched last week by the Titans by a couple of backup running backs, but I think that's more of an outlier, right? I mean, I just, this is a tough defense. I think they're going to lock down this running game pretty well. I don't know. It's tough for me to buy into the, you know, the guy getting the 32% snap share in the committee. He has looked explosive. I get it. And hey, maybe he leapfrogs Singletary this week, but he's still not someone I'm going to want to start this week. I think he's a little bit more of a long-term ad, and you could start him in a pinch, but I think he's more maybe outside the top 30 RBs for me this week. That's just the way I see it. I feel like we've kind of been tricked by Matt Breida before, right? Like, I don't know if I'm ready to jump right back in on Breida after a couple of 10-touch games here recently.
Yeah. He has looked better, and he actually looked more explosive than Devin Singletary in some of the highlights that I watched.
Yep.
But look at this schedule. In week 13, New England. Mm-hmm. In week 14, Tampa Bay, which has been more generous to the wide receivers, certainly, than running backs. They were tough up front. Then you've got Carolina, who did just get smoked, but has been a really tough defense. Then New England again. So those next 4 weeks are a pretty tough stretch for a backup running back only getting 32% of snaps. However, you know, I could see him, you know, kind of maybe eat into Singletary's share a little bit more, maybe be kind of a desperation flex option. So, you know, if that's where you are, you know, he's somebody that I might still put a claim in case I don't get some of these higher priorities, but you know, but you have to temper your expectations a little bit as to what you're hoping to get. You're not going to be getting RB1 or RB2 value back from Breida, probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think he's worth putting in a bid for. I might leave a couple bucks left over just for the rest of the season. I don't know if he's worth unloading it all on. And I mean, I also note that, you know, this backfield's kind of been all over the place this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Moss was back out there this week. Who knows? Like, I don't know why he was inactive. I haven't really seen much about it. And maybe he's back out there and it's a three-way split. Maybe he's out the rest of the year. I really don't know how they're going to play this. I do think there's enough upside. He's worth a shot. But I'm still going to be a little scared to start him this week. I guess that's basically where I land on him. Let's get on to this is one that I had a desperation start in a few leagues. I'm not going to lie. And he burned me. So let's get to the Jets backfield. Who you got up next here?
I mean, you kind of have to talk about Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman, and bonus alert, Austin Walter, sorry.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's also in the Jets backfield, but, you know, Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman, you know, we talked about him last week on our waiver wire priorities. You know, I personally leaned a little bit more towards Tevin Coleman just because I thought he would kind of get the nod. Thought there would be a decent game script in week 12 for them. And it kind of played out somewhat like that with Ty Johnson getting, you know, he's going to be getting a little bit more of the passing down work. So I think for a longer term play, on paper, you would say, you know, Ty Johnson probably has a little bit more upside. But the problem with the Jets offense is that there's just not a lot of upside anyway. So Zach Wilson coming back may actually, the starting quarterback may actually be the worst case scenario for pretty much everybody on the Jets offense and their potential, but especially a pass catching back.
Yep. Yeah, totally agree with that. You know, the other options, Mike White, Joe Flacco, he was certainly checking down to the running backs. Wilson's not mm-hmm. doing that. So yeah, I mean, I've got Ty Johnson stashed in about every dynasty roster I have. I think he's talented, but at some point you have to look at what the coaching staff is doing here. And he's never really gotten that opportunity to just lead this backfield. And the fact that Tevin Coleman got 16 carries last week, I think that tells us enough. So I do think there's some value here, but I think I agree with you. If you had to start one next week, it's probably Tevin Coleman, right? I do think that Ty Johnson has more talent, but if you had to trust someone to get 10 plus touches, it's Tevin Coleman this week.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had a little bit more faith in Zach Wilson, I would take the risk of Ty Johnson in a potentially negative game script. But, you know, it's also hard to know exactly what you're going to get with the Eagles. But I'd say you're going to get more guaranteed volume from Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. And that game from the Jets it felt like a disaster last week. It's kind of funny that they won. They beat Houston. So it feels like a mess because of how Wilson played. And they actually had a positive game script. So maybe Johnson's better if they're losing. But it's a mess of a backfield. I still can't believe that Austin Walter has been mixed in. I did not see that coming. So I thought that was
he looked kind of good. He actually looked pretty good.
Yeah. So deep league stash, Austin Walter, get him on your dynasty rosters. Yeah. See what happens now. But yeah, hey, there's going to be opportunities there as long as Carter's out. So it's worth keeping an eye on. Speaking of that Jets Texans game, are we talking about Rex Burkhead? How much time you want to spend on him?
Let's see. He's 8% rostered. So maybe only about 8 seconds. It seems like he's somewhat taking control, or at least seems to have the faith of the Texans organization behind him. But it was funny because I came out of the watching the Texans highlights and thought, oh man, Rex Burkhead, nice job. But he's still, I mean, he had 12 attempts for 27 yards and three receptions for 27 more yards. So it was the best performance or a better performance out of the Texans backfield, but still, you know, it's going to be a disappointing return on what you get. So again, that's more of a desperation. You're out of options claim in there for that, because, you know, it's just not a great pie to carve a piece out of anyway.
No. On the positive side, it's at least just him and David Johnson right now. 61% of the snaps were Burkhead, 38 for Johnson. So it's at least not like a four-man committee, but I agree, not much there. So who else do you want to talk about at running back this week? Did we miss anyone?
The only other players I would think of is if you have the luxury of looking forward to week 14, Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman are both really interesting adds to me. I think that, I'd give the edge to Hilliard for the receiving work because I don't think that Foreman's going to be getting that. But oddly enough, it seems like Tennessee is kind of trying to double down and replicate some of what Derrick Henry could do and really make sure that they establish that running game. But also because they don't really have anything else with both A.J. Brown and Julio on injured reserve and with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, that's really their best receiving option. So I think that, if you're looking forward and you have the luxury of not having to worry about this week, then I think they're both interesting ads. And if you have the luxury of waiting a week, you might have the luxury of also just seeing kind of how it plays out in week 14. So those are interesting names. And then of course, at this point in the season with, I think this is the time when you might want to get your insurance backs. You're looking at, I'm trying to think of any of the running back ones who haven't gone down. But, right. If you kind of have your starters, you might want to start looking at your Joe Mixon or someone like that and say, okay, who's their insurance back? Who am I going to play if he goes down? Because, again, we're getting to the point where it's going to be really hard to replace those points.
Yeah, that's a good call. So Samaje Perine, something like that. Mm-hmm. If you don't like your options, maybe time to stash them. I was surprised to see how low you had the Titans running backs. I bet they're rostered in a lot of leagues anyway, but that does make sense. With the bye week this week, we do also have to remember Jeremy McNichols has missed a couple games, but mm-hmm. it's with a concussion. I mean, who knows? That could be a couple more weeks. He could be back next week. I wouldn't be surprised if he eats into Hilliard's role, but those running backs did look good in Tennessee. So there is something there. I think they're worth rostering. It's just, we'll see how it looks a week from now for sure. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think running back's the most interesting of the positions this week for waiver fab and all your priorities and everything. So I'm glad we spent some good time on running backs. Let's get over to the receivers. I think this is kind of led by a couple of players that maybe should be on rosters anyway, but who you got at receiver?
Top of the list has to be Van Jefferson. And really, this is for you to go look at your waiver wire and see if Van Jefferson was dropped when they were on their bye. Yep. Because, he's 49% roster. So he just comes under the threshold that we like to use for this podcast. So he's available. And, if you look at the week 12 box score, the snaps, the routes, the targets, I mean, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham Jr. and Van Jefferson were all almost identical. Mm-hmm. Jefferson got the big play. So did Odell Beckham Jr. It's the kind of offense where you kind of want a piece of that. And obviously Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. are way more rostered than Van Jefferson. So he's the one who I'm highlighting here, but he should actually be performing better than what his stat sheet says, because You know, he had a drop. He always has a couple drops. He stepped out of bounds when he should have, you know, probably made it to the end zone on a pass from Cooper Kupp. But all that to say, you know, he 9 targets, only got 3 receptions. But again, I think, you know, you could see some room for improvement there. 93 yards and a touchdown. Again, just being in that offense, going up against Jacksonville in week 13, it's all good. And you definitely want to make sure that he is not sitting on your waiver wire. If he is, you know, he's definitely a priority add for the wide receivers.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, Beckham's already a little banged up. I don't think it's anything major, but they got Jacksonville and then some shootout potential with Arizona, Seattle, Minnesota, Baltimore. So I know that it's easy to kind of go with recency bias. The Rams offense has looked pretty bad lately, but I would think there's room for growth here. It's not going to be this bad the rest of the year. So as long as Stafford's healthy and on the field, which is a little questionable, but I would expect them to score some points here. So Jefferson's a really good add. And I mean, I've had him on some rosters already. He has made some mistakes. I do agree. I had some drops, some questionable kind of route running or whatever, but he's still out there and this is a talented offense. So go get Jefferson if he's available. I think he's worth spending a pretty significant amount of fab. Just depends on if you're spending up on those running backs. So, all right. Who you got next at wide receiver?
Well, I have a lot of guys next, actually. wide receiver was hard. This is kind of one of those like spray and pray it, you know, type things where you just, you know, I might put in a bunch of claims and whoever comes back, I'll be kind of happy and kind of disappointed, you know, in all of it. So, you know, this next tier, you know, I'll start with Kendrick Bourne, who has some really encouraging kind of thoughts and then also some things that scream stay away. So I'll start with the bad that that New England is going up against Buffalo in week 13, which to me just screams like they're just going to slug it out. And it's going to be this, you know, battle for, you know, NFC East supremacy. So I'm curious as to how much opportunity there's really going to be there against the Buffalo defense. And New England goes on a bye in week 14. So for me, it's kind of a 1 week rental. Kendrick Bourne is still kind of third in the list as far as, you know, the maybe it's the wide receiver, but also thinking of Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. There are a lot of mouths to feed in New England, and I don't see them as always kind of this incredibly high-scoring, high-octane passing offense. But New England has been incredible. So yeah. On one side, I'll say all of that. On the other side, you know, he's coming off another two-touchdown game. 6 targets, 5 receptions. So he's making the most of his opportunities. So I think there are worse plays that you could try to make for wide receiver in week 13. But I do think that, you know, for me, I'm seeing a lot of the risk personally, but I do think he's going to be kind of a hot name as far as waiver wire pickups.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with you. That bye week does not help either. He's established kind of like a 6 to 9 point floor, and then he's had these spike weeks. A little based on touchdowns, you know. He's got some weird stat lines. He's got a 3 rush for 43 yard game. Like, he's making it work with his opportunities, super efficient, catch rate, all that kind of stuff. And the offense looks good. So, yeah, I don't hate it either. I you know, if your receiving core is just decimated, and I know I have some teams where I've been beat up by injuries, there's a lot worse you could do at wide receiver 3, flex, maybe even wide receiver 2. Like, I get it, but I'm not sure he's a big upside target. So, I think this is the safer option, and there are probably some higher swings that could be big-time misses later on. So, I agree with you there. Rostered about 23% of the leagues. I bet that's up around 50, though, this week, just chasing the box scores, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and with so many teams on bye, you know, and again, it should certainly be mentioned all the teams that we have on bye. We have, you can help me for the ones I forget, but we've got the Browns, the Packers, the, who else do we have? The Panthers? No.
I've got to look it up because I just survived all of my Cardinals and Broncos last week. So I'm like, I'm in the clear, you know?
We've got those guys coming back. And, you know, we're missing Devonta Adams, and we're missing Aaron Rodgers. We're missing all sorts of options. So I could see some desperation there, and, you know, maybe some needs there. But for me, Kendrick Bourne kind of feels like the kind of guy that if I start him, I feel like I'm going to be really disappointed. And if I bench him, I feel like I'm going to be really disappointed. So yeah, we have the Panthers, the Browns, the Packers, and the Titans all on bye this week. So including the injuries that are on some of those teams, that's a lot of fantasy relevant players that are missing for a pretty crucial week.
Yeah, at least three starting wide receivers plus flex plays. Yeah, there's a lot there. So definitely. All right, who is up next on the list at wide receiver?
Oh, I've got to go with my hometown team here and just say Russell Gage going up against Tampa Bay. You know, I think that we've seen Gage tell us his floor, which is zero. So that's a little bit risky. But I do like his involvement in the passing game. I think that in some ways, you know, defenses are really honing in on shutting down Kyle Pitts. And that really just leaves Cordarrelle Patterson and Russell Gage to kind of come up with some sort of an offense with Matt Ryan. So we've seen the bad side of it. We've seen them get completely shut down. But I do think that, you know, looking at this on paper, Russell Gage should have a solid floor for this game. There should be opportunities. There should be plenty of passing. You assume that Landon's going to be playing catch up to Tampa Bay. And you know, he's coming off of leading the Falcons in targets in week 12. So I like all the signs. They seem to be at least pointing up for a strong day, especially in PPR for Russell Gage. But again, that is with the risk that the Atlanta offense can completely implode in any given week and give you, you know, 0 points.
Yeah, 25% target share last week for Russell Gage. It's really hard. If you started him one of those 0 point weeks, it's hard to go back to him. I get it. But I mean, over 10 PPR points in what, for the last 6 weeks. So there's been some consistency there, and then just no floor. So like you said, it's either a pretty solid game you're happy with or nothing. But hopefully they've kind of worked out the kinks on that. Teams are certainly throwing everything they have at Pitts. I kind of feel bad for anyone who drafted Pitts, because I still think he's a good player. He's just being swarmed by defenders. So they got to throw it to somebody, and I would expect them to have to throw it quite a bit here against Tampa Bay. So. All right. Next up, this is a guy I have on a lot of rosters, and I don't quite know what to do with him. So if somebody does not have Kadarius Toney on the roster, what would you say to do with him?
You know, I have him as well in on a couple rosters. And he's floating around on waivers in a couple other leagues. So Kadarius Toney, he's 47% rostered. So again, that you're probably experiencing the same thing out there in your leagues. But the challenge here is, you know, not only is he on an offense that seems to be as stop start as any other out there, you know, he's a risk because you're not even sure if Kadarius Toney is going to suit up in any given week. So injuries have been an absolute mess for the Giants, and he just seems to have, you know, every other week something. His big breakout, you know, weeks 4 and 5, that was a long time ago, and he really hasn't done all that much. We saw a little bit more of a glimmer of hope in week 11 when he had, I think, 12 targets. But you know, it's hard to see the Giants offense be able to consistently, you know, kind of support, you know, more than one or two offensive players, especially with Daniel Jones. So, you know, the matchup going into week 13, they're going up against Miami. Not a horrible matchup, but Miami has played a lot better as of late as a defense. The Giants only have an implied total of 19 points. So, you know, Vegas isn't seeing a whole lot of offense coming for New York. But with all that said, I still think of almost anybody on this list, he carries the most upside. I think he's the most talented. I think he's got the most big play potential. So I personally am probably, if I'm rostering Kadarius Toney, I don't think I'm playing him unless I absolutely have to. But, you know, if you need a home run play, if you're kind of an underdog and you need somebody to come up really big, or, you know, if they just have an average game, you're losing anyway, then I can't really blame you for going Kadarius Toney, because, you know, he could rip off an 85-yard touchdown in week 13, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, totally agree with you. There's someone on this list that was going to, you know, win you your league as far as a waiver wire pickup at receivers going to this time of the year. It would be Tony. It's hard to look past those 12 target, 13 target, 9 target games. So I agree with you. You never know if he's going to make it through the whole game. I would also say it's important to watch Sterling Shepard's injury status. We don't have a whole lot on that, but he tends to soak up a lot of targets when he's back. But I don't know. I would say on the downside, like if neither of them were out there against Philadelphia this week, a division rival, Giants are kind of like somehow in the playoff hunt with that record. If they weren't out there this week, yeah. I don't know how close they are to coming back, but we'll see. I mean, it's hard on some of these injuries to decipher where they're at. So definitely high risk, high reward. But I do think the reward is high enough to chase Tony if he's available. So I'm right on board with you there. Okay, I think those are the big names at receiver. Any deep league stashes or kind of players to pick up if you just kind of have a hole in your roster you don't know what to do with?
Yeah, you know, I've got a few that we'll add in the article. Some of those deeper plays. A couple guys playing tonight on Monday Night Football that I'd love to see kind of how DeAndre Carter does, how he looks, how he's involved in the offense. We'll be talking about the New Orleans quarterback situation down at the quarterbacks segment. But it could be interesting to see what, you know, a Taysom Hill offense looks like for Traquan Smith or Marquez Callaway. And then, you know, I think that, you know, some potential, home run plays there could, you know, DeSean Jackson had a big touchdown with Las Vegas. I'm not necessarily one to just chase one or two big plays, but, if Las Vegas is looking kind of for that deep threat, as long as Jackson is healthy, he could provide some of that. He's only 5% rostered, so he could be a little bit of a deeper play. And then, you know, T.Y. Hilton, when he's healthy, Wentz has shown at least some proclivity to look his way. But again, he could be a risky start. But I think all those guys could have some potential to fill a hole if you're really desperate.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson's not the type of receiver I usually chase in fantasy, but he has pretty much made a big play every time he's been on the field this year and given, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 targets. So he certainly can still get deep. And if you're really swinging for the fences here, I suppose he's worth a shot in some deep leagues. So, all right. Yep. That sounds good. Receiver's just tough. It's we drafted a lot of receivers early. Some of us, hero RB drafters, zero RB drafters, whatever you want to call it. And they all got hurt just as much as the running backs did this year. So I definitely understand if you're in a spot where you need a DeSean Jackson or T.Y. Hilton, because I've got some of those rosters right now. So I'm right there with you. All right, let's get to tight end here. Any names catching your eye here, or are you generally sticking with what you've got at tight end in most leagues?
Well, it's very sad for me to have to say goodbye to Dan Arnold from this segment, because he's been a favorite of the QB list waiver wire pod, all the way back to, you know, week 4, but it's such a bummer. It seems like he might be out for the rest of the season, at least the fantasy season. So I do think that there are some potential holes that you may have to fill with the waivers coming up. You know, you've got I mean, if you've been depending on players like Austin Hooper or David Njoku, then, you know, you're right in line with taking some desperation dart throws anyway. So this is for you. James O'Shaughnessy, you know, he really just had one week at the beginning of the season with Jacksonville where he looked really involved, and then he got hurt. But he came back pretty quickly and, you know, went right in for, you know, after Dan Arnold got hurt, 5 targets, 3 receptions. So I do think that he is, one of those kind of deeper streamers. But, you know, kind of more at the top of the list, I think Jack Doyle has, for Indianapolis, has kind of reestablished himself as kind of the pass catching back for Indianapolis. And as long as they continue playing well, which they should in week 13 up against Houston, I think he's a good streamer. And I say streamer because, you know, their bye is in week 14. So he's kind of a, you know, 1 week, see if you can capitalize kind of on this recent run that he's had where he just keeps getting, you know, more and more targets You know, and I think he had 7 targets in week 12, 6 receptions and a touchdown. So, so he's been looking pretty good, and he has been, you know, he's really been splitting the snap share and even the routes run with Mo Ali Cox, but he's getting the targets, whereas Ali Cox is not. So, Jack Doyle is probably, you know, right there at the top of my list with, you know, maybe some of these other players like, you know, Cole Kmet or Evan Engram is always part of that, or Tyler Conklin.
Yeah. I think I'm relatively interested in Cole Kmet. He's been seeing a lot of snaps, 11 targets. Now that was with Andy Dalton last week. We'll see who's playing this week. I'm not sure if they've made a call on that yet, but they're a little bit like the Falcons offense, I guess I would say, where the bottom could really fall out any week. So we see like a one catch 12 yard game in week 11 out of Kmet, but he's had a bunch of games with 6 or more targets. He's getting the work. Just be prepared for Jimmy Graham to vulture the touchdowns and, you know, throw your remote at the TV. So, but I, you know, in PPR leagues, I think you could do worse than Kmet for sure. And I agree, Jack Doyle, I tend to kind of worry that this Colts passing game is just going to be a different tight end every week, but he's hot right now. And we know they can get the ball to tight end. So he's definitely an intriguing option as well. All right, let's move on from tight end. Hopefully you have found someone like Pat Freiermuth or someone like that at this point, and you are not dealing with this because it's kind of a miserable list here. So let's get over to quarterback, and actually a pretty fun name on this list. Taysom Hill, I know he's got his faults, but the upside is pretty undeniable for fantasy purposes. So how seriously are we taking Taysom Hill as a starter this week?
Oh, he might be my top quarterback streamer, honestly. Especially if you're someone like me who jumped all in on Cam Newton and got one great week and then week 12. Yeah. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, a double-edged sword here with some of these very, you know, in real football, limited quarterbacks as far as what we know they can do. But you just know when you have that rushing upside, with a mobile quarterback, the fantasy upside is just limitless. So, so I really like Taysom Hill. It seems like he is going to get the start. Reports out of New Orleans is that he's been taking the first team reps, and Trevor Siemian has been taking the second team reps. So, you know, the small sample size that we have from Taysom Hill in 2020, when he started weeks 10 to 13, that 4-game stretch, he averaged 2 touchdowns a game, 1 passing, 1 rushing. Now he had the privilege of going up against Atlanta twice, but that's just a little bit of context for that. But, but you know, Dallas has been a little bit hot and cold as it relates to quarterbacks. They're just coming off of giving 21 points to Derek Carr. So I don't hate the spot. I think that there could be opportunity for Taysom Hill to use his legs. And so for me, I just think that upside, as far as what's available everywhere else on the waiver wire, we've got I've got a couple more names that are, you know, even kind of above that 50% threshold that are comparable. But to me, Taysom Hill is he's a great spot start for me. Just and I'm kind of willing to take the risk and jump in and just see what he does for this week.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. I mean, I wouldn't start him over, you know, some of these good quarterbacks you've been starting all year. But, I mean, we know that Sean Payton knows how to run an offense with Taysom Hill. This isn't like a new situation here. As limited as Hill is a passer, I mean, he did throw 230 or more yards in 3 of the 4 starts last year. Like, it's not a zero here. So, and the only game he didn't throw for 100 was that game against the Broncos where, what's his name, Kendall Hinton was a quarterback. They just didn't pass the ball that game. On the other side against the Broncos. So I do think there is a pretty good floor here with Hill as long as he's healthy. But yeah, they're still in it. They're still competing for the playoffs. This is a good team, even though they are banged up on both sides of the ball. So, you know, on the one hand, no Michael Thomas, banged up Kamara potentially. It's not as good of a team as last year, but I do think he can make some noise. So yeah, I guess it's a little concerned Dallas. What happens if they fall behind 21 and he's just throwing the ball, but I think the upside is worth chasing. So, yeah. I don't know. The names below on your list that are probably rostered in a lot of leagues, I think they're certainly safer options, but Hill has the better upside.
For sure. Yeah. And again, you know, it is worth, you know, it's Monday night right now when we're recording this. And, you know, I would keep my my eyes and ears on the news coming out of New Orleans. We don't know exactly what sort of a split Sean Payton might do. We're not sure if he's just trying to get Taysom Hill some reps because he wants to run a two quarterback system. So really we're speculating on a lot of this until something more official comes out. But assuming that Taysom Hill does get the full go, then I do feel good about that upside, especially if you need it.
They just gave him that big contract. They got to use him. So Taysom Hill time. All right. What else are we left with a quarterback? If you think we're crazy, you don't want to start Taysom Hill because he's a gadget player. Who are you going with here?
Yeah. So Derek Carr and Carson Wentz, streaming quarterbacks are an interesting dynamic when you're looking at roster percentages, because even in a lot of one quarterback leagues, a lot of managers like to have a second quarterback rostered. So, you know, Derek Carr is at 68% rostered, so he may not be available, but he's got a great matchup against Washington. Like we just mentioned above, he's got, you know, your number one deep threat, DeSean Jackson, ready to go. But, you know, if you're going to start a quarterback against any team in the league, you want to start him against Washington. They are the worst team against quarterbacks. So, so I like Derek Carr if he's available, or if you're debating between two quarterbacks who are on your roster, I really like Derek Carr this week. Carson Wentz, again, you know, this is kind of similar to the Jack Doyle thing. You know, you've got one more week. The offense, you know, seems to be humming along pretty well with Jonathan Taylor running so well. So, and again, they've got Houston. So you could see some game script. It really depends. You know, you kind of assume that Indianapolis is going to have the lead here. The question is, you know, are they going to get to that lead through the air, which would be good for Carson Wentz, or through the ground, which, you know, could be kind of a ho-hum game. But those are kind of my higher rostered streaming options. If they're available, they're worth checking. But for quarterbacks that are under that 50% threshold, I like, again, he seems to come on this pod every week, but Tua Tagovailoa, he's 33% rostered going up against the Giants. Really, I think that is, Tua is just a really safe option right now. Jalen Waddle and, Tua have a really good connection. I'd love to have a piece of that, as an option. I don't think the Giants are going to put up that much of a fight. And, again, you're just looking at just really solid performances since Tua has come back. The Dolphins are on a 4-game winning streak. Their sights are on the playoffs again. They kind of have hope of that. And so I think it'll just be a nice, strong, solid game from Tua and the Dolphins in week 13.
Yep, I agree with that. You've also got Taylor Heinicke against the Raiders. He's kind of the same, pretty solid, you know, decent floor, probably not the highest ceiling, but not a bad week for quarterback streamers here. I would say there's four or five decent options you can roll out there and feel pretty good about. Okay, so let's just quickly go through defenses here. Any names that just jump off the page that are widely available that might be worth dropping a buck or two on, or maybe more, depending on how desperate you are for a win this week?
Yeah, I think if Philadelphia or Indianapolis are available, they're between 50 and 60% rostered. You know, just looking straight at the matchups, they're going against the Jets and the Texans. Just looking at the over-unders and the implied totals, they're built for, Vegas is often right. And so with both the Jets and Houston having kind of an implied point total of 19, you know, they're not expecting a ton of offense to be coming from the Jets or the Texans. So I like both of those. To go with the actual, under 50% rostered, you've got the Vikings, who are 17% rostered, going up against Detroit, which, I mean, Eric, that's probably pretty self-explanatory, right, as to why you would pick the Vikings?
Yeah, Detroit, okay. We're unsure who is their best quarterback, I'd say, at this point. So That's true.
So, Minnesota, that's a smash. And then the Dolphins. Again, we mentioned them earlier. They're just coming off a 23-point week. They're 43% rostered and they're playing the Giants. We've already kind of, you know, to excruciating detail, kind of laid out the Giants' offensive woes. The one worry that you might have is, you know, is Saquon Barkley back? I would say even if he is, you're probably not going to get a shutout from the Dolphins, but I think there are going to be enough opportunities for turnovers to make them a good streaming option.
Yeah, kind of like you mentioned how they're not as good of a matchup earlier in the show. You can kind of throw out their stats, I'd say, from this season as a defense, the Dolphins, because they've looked like a completely different unit since that Ravens game, I'd say, maybe even a game before. But they just started bringing the house on every play. And that sounds like a good strategy against Daniel Jones. That could lead to a few sacks and turnovers. So I'm on board with Miami for sure. All right, a couple good names there as well. I think it's a pretty fun list here. If you're just sick of your bench, I think you could just kind of churn and burn the whole bench this week. There's some good options. So any last thoughts before we get out of here? Any players you're just dying to drop from your roster, or any last tidbits that we missed?
Oh, man, there's so many players I'm dying to drop. I'd love for Mike Williams to do something for me in the next couple of weeks. I do have a potential deep play for the Chargers, actually, with Larry Roundtree, who was kind of the rookie that was supposed to back up Austin Eckler, who we all kind of like. Mm-hmm. If you're on a dynasty team, Darius Bradwell, just go stash him on your bench. And he might be somebody who's worth playing if Eckler, you know, goes down or misses time. But if you're in a really deep league, go check out Darius Bradwell, because he just took Larry Roundtree's spot in week 12, who was kind of the deeper dynasty favorite for the Chargers backfield.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, Justin Jackson hasn't been playing. Excuse me. I believe he's a free agent after this year. Josh Kelly certainly hasn't been good. So, yeah, I've always been trying to find someone in this backfield behind Eckler in case something happens. So, good call. Maybe Bradwell's the one to look at in some dynasty leagues here. All right. Well, I think that's a good way to get out of here. It was good doing the show with you this week, AJ. I'll be on for my third show this week on Wednesday night for the Sit Start podcast. So it's crunch time, man. We got playoffs coming up. So they're shockingly close. I dare you to look ahead at your regular season schedule in fantasy and see how many weeks you have left. We're in the grind of it right now, but it's going to be scary here in a few weeks where we don't have any lineups to set. So enjoy it while you can.
That's right. Yeah. Good luck, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.